Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
This is my friend. His name is James Samuels. I've known him for a long time. He's got an amazing flick coming to all streaming services. Well, excuse me, coming to streaming on Netflix. It is The Harder They Fall. The soundtrack is out right now. That fire joint with Lauryn Hill. The joint with Hove and Kid Cudi is crazy. James Samuel, he wrote the movie, produced the movie, scored the soundtrack, scored the film. What else did you do?
Directed the movie.
Directed the movie.
Oh, there's that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's that one. It's that little big one.
Now, James, for the audience, you know, we've had this conversation before, but I think it's important because I think the things we're talking about, I don't think people really understand. Like composing the score. What is that? What do you mean compose? Like, because now you hear producer all the time. People throw around the word producer, but people aren't really writing music. You're an actual writer of notes on a piece of paper.
Yeah. So when I, it's almost like I see music and I hear film. So when I'm writing the script, I also start notating and composing the score and working out like all of the motifs and all of the melodies behind each character. Obviously, you've looked at the film, but composing the score isn't necessarily like making a beat, like pulling up an MPC, even though that's a talent in itself. But there's much more to it. You know, you're writing orchestral parts and parts for the timpanis, and you know, just all of it. So it takes a lot of it's a lot more work, and also it's for like a 2 hour plus piece. So it's like a continuous orchestral piece. In this case, it's mad fun because you know, I make it bang as well. So while you hear your orchestra and your strings, I also make that tish bang through the roof. It's wicked.
What did you start doing? What's the first in James Samuel's life? What is the art that you started working on first?
You know what, Rosenberg? Like there was always instruments in the house, but my mom brought me a Super 8 camera when I was 7, just like a Super 8 camera, and then she bought me a Bolex 16mm when I was 13. Right, so I was shooting actual film and sending it off, getting it developed. I was editing like on a Steinbeck editor. This is when I was 13 years old. So I was always doing both music and film. I was shooting, I just grew up shooting a bunch of short films and music videos and stuff, but I'll always put my own music behind it. Like I'll always score what I was writing. So for me, Ebro and Rosenberg, they basically were the same thing. The script and music, filming and score, it was always the same thing for me. It's like I grew up doing both of them at once.
And wow. What exactly was happening in your house too? Because I don't know if everybody knows, but your brother is Seal.
Yeah.
So what type of music was going on in that house?
You know, it's crazy because obviously him being way older than me, he'll just be playing us a lot of like Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills and Nash and all of that stuff from like the Laurel Canyon movement of the late 60s into the 70s. I'll be listening to that tish, but then I'll be listening to Wu-Tang Clan, Mobb Deep, you know, Hove, everyone else. Like so you'd leave. I grew up in a place called Harrow Road, right? Kilburn Lane, Mozart Estate, which is like our project in West London. So I'd leave the house, I'd leave the house, and I'm listening to everything that everyone else is listening to. But you know how it is in the UK? We've been in the UK, black people, we came over like in the 50s. Our parents came over and the grandparents came over in the 50s and 60s. So you go into any black person's house, you're going into either the West Indies or Nigeria.
The culture is still very intact.
Yeah, yeah. You're going into, so in my house, it was like, we'll be listening to Fela as much as Kate Bush and Joni. But then we hit the streets, we're listening to that boom bap. So I just became kind of like an amalgamation of all of those things.
The Harder They Fall, how long have you been working on this film?
Well, me and you've been speaking about The Harder They Fall, bro, for like 12 years. It's a weird thing because me and you used to be in Jerry Wonder's studio talking about like black cowboys and this, that, and the other, and what I'm gonna do with this movie. I'll see Ebro like once a year, be like, when are you doing the movie? When are you come with the movie? I was like, it's coming, Ebro, I just need to set it up. but it's been gestating in me since I was a kid, and I've been working on it for like between like 12 and 15 years. Like,
wow. What is it about Western? Why a Western? What's the appeal here for you? Because this isn't your first foray. You know, kind of stepping foray into that.
Yeah, for me, what it is about the West, I grew up loving Westerns, right? I grew up loving everything about them, the quick draws, the bank robberies, the train robberies, the jailbreaks. I grew up loving Westerns. But they were so narrow in the viewpoint they showed us, right? The scope, the rifle scope that they'll shoot the Western through was always super narrow. So I'd be like, where's all the women of substance, as opposed to every single woman in the Western is subservient or a prostitute. Where's all the people of color? Like, where's all the black people? Wyatt Earp, as we always said, died in 1929. Gunfight at OK Corral, Tombstone was 1881. The Emancipation Proclamation Act was in 1860. Where's all the people of color? Yeah. Well, they just disappeared. And then so for me, I love the genre so much. I just wanted to find out more about it and broaden the scope.
But,
so to speak.
But see, that timeline is an important note, because you heard Rosenberg go, wait a minute. People don't process that the Wild Wild West, or even when you think of like 1849, the gold rush in California, that was 1849. Exactly. That wasn't the 1700s, the 1600s.
Exactly.
It was 1849. So 1900 in the United States, there were free black people. People don't really, the timeline, exactly. I think, is fucked up in people's head.
Exactly, right? Like, and also there were free black people even during slavery, right? But what people don't understand is one in four cowboys was black. White folks were called cow hands. So this is just like Hollywood reappropriating the term cowboys, right? And almost like reimagining. People say that I've reimagined the Western, but I haven't. I've actually kind of given you a more realistic viewpoint of it. Hollywood reimagined the Old West, making women all subservient, which has never happened in the history of mankind, and making everyone basically just white males, and everyone else is treated less than human or subservient in some way. And that was never the case, especially in the Old West, which was actually the New West. So for me, when you remove those things from a story, you just get a bad tale. It had to be my first movie because there's so much dopeness that I can put into it and just make a movie that people just look at us on horses and look at all these men and women and kings and queens and just have something to marvel about. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So what was the process from this being an idea that you had in your head as a kid and started working on? What was sort of the process to getting to where we are now, where it's now become this huge thing with huge names involved, major release? Take us through that process.
You know, Rosenberg, the process was first me just learning about it, right? Just me reading about all of these characters and all of these real characters, right? And then I self-funded a short film 10 years ago. I released it in 2013, but I shot it like the beginning of 2012. I wrote it in 2011, called They Die by Dawn. It's a short film that stars Michael K. Williams, Rosario Dawson, Erykah Badu, Giancarlo Esposito, Isaiah Washington, Nate Parker, Jesse Williams, Bokeem Woodbine, Harry Lennox. I put everyone in it. And I made them all play these real characters, pretty much like The Harder They Fall. All play these real characters in the Old West. And it's short, but it's 50 minutes, right? I shot that as almost like a proof of concept, not to me and not to studios, but to our people, to show us that, look, we did exist in that place, and this is how dope we were. So even though the story was fictional, I put all these real characters in it. And then it was just a case of, like, you know, over the years, still writing and working on the music and putting all this together and then meeting with studios that showed no interest at that particular point. But then Jay was always involved. And then we met with Ted Sarandos and James Lester, Jay-Z, and everyone was ready. And Netflix became this studio that no longer sent DVDs to our house. Remember them days? Netflix just used to send you DVDs, right? I never gave any of those DVDs back. I just used to order them, and then my account got, like, And then they just became a studio, and they just got behind the vision of this film and this new director. And you know, the rest is The Harder They Fall.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now I want to reiterate, you said these are real characters. You know, I didn't realize years ago when we were talking about this that, you know, we were talking about you taking the real names of Black cowboys, and people from a real time period in American history, and then writing this story. Run down some of the names of the characters, and the actors that play them in The Harder They Fall, dropping, this Friday on Netflix.
Like a G, November the 3rd. I think it's actually this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
So I took all of these real characters that really existed, so we can watch this movie and then just go and learn about these people instead of arguing whether we existed or not. I got, like, the notorious outlaw Rufus Buck, played by Idris Elba, the bad gal. Gertrude Smith, aka Treacherous Trudy Smith, played by Regina King. She was from Barbary Coast, San Francisco originally. She moved, but she moved all around America. Cherokee Bill, played by Lakeith Stanfield, and the one and only Nat Love, aka Deadwood Dick. That was the name he used to go by, played by Jonathan Majors, the rising star. I took Wiley Esco, played by Dion Cole, who's known as a comedian, but when people see him in this film, they're gonna get a whole other side of him. Bass Reeves, the Marshall Bass Reeves, notorious, who was the inspiration for the Lone Ranger, played by Delroy Lindo. Like, the cast is just super powerful. I take other characters like Kathy Williams, the first woman to enlist in the U.S. Army. She enlisted as a man. She played by Danielle Deadweiler, Jim Beckwith, played by R.J. Kyler, Bill Pickett, famous for bulldogging and the Bill Pickett Rodeo, played by Eddie Gathegi. It's just a beautiful array of characters and cast.
Amazing. The Harder They Fall. Now, the soundtrack has gotten a lot of attention because you got two whole verses on there. You got a Lauryn Hill song on there, CeeLo Green, talk about working with Lauryn Hill, and the audience should know that you also composed this music also, and all of the music on the soundtrack is also was written for the film. Yeah. It was made for the film.
Yeah, yeah. The whole soundtrack. I wrote, produced the whole soundtrack. And it was all made for the film. Every single song. I have Kid Cudi on the soundtrack. Conway the Machine, Jadakiss, Back with Hove, everyone on it. And unlike these soundtracks, which just function as compilation albums of various artists that we've just gotten accustomed to, even in the 90s when we used to celebrate those soundtracks, and we had wicked soundtracks in the 90s, but it would be like the lead track would be after the title of the movie or something, and the rest of the songs were just compilation albums.
It was just, a way to break new artists and songs.
Yeah, it wasn't like the days of Curtis Mayfield and Superfly, you know, or Willie Hutch and the Mac. Right. But this is a throwback to Isaac Hayes and Shaft, so to speak. This is a throw, like every single song has something to do with the movie. And working with Miss Lauryn Hill, she was it was surprising because she knew as much about the Old West and Hollywood and the reappropriation of the word cowboy and the reimagining of what the Old West was like. She knows just as much about that as I do. And the Fugees actually have referenced like black cowboys and that kind of stuff in it. You write Rosemary in their mm-hmm. past. She's super familiar with it. So her and I produced the song Black Woman. I got this woman. She's a genius from Mali. This singer, electric guitar player called Fatoumata Diawara, and I teamed her with Lauryn Hill, and the song is just a wicked, wicked joint. There was my Auntie Tayo when I was a kid. I never really liked Auntie Tayo. She was a brute of a woman that used to just kind of shout at the kids all the time. She's got come and dance. I don't want to dance with you, Auntie. But she's really not polite. But she used to always talk about the freedom of the black man. And I was like seven, eight. And she used to always go, watch them, I go, make war before we free. Watch them, I go, make war before we free. Like, it's going to be war before freedom. And that's like the chant of that song. So them, I go, make war before we free. Hey, watch them, I go, make war before we free. Then Lauryn comes in, follow. People, they follow. It's a wicked joint, man. Wicked. But it's all to do with the film and what we experience and where the songs weave in and out of the score and the story. It's all like one cohesive thought.
The Fugees had that song Cowboys on the score. And I'd be remiss if we didn't mention Sadat X, who had the Wild Cowboys album.
Wicked.
And that was he used a lot of imagery of black cowboys.
Because I'm a wild cowboy.
Yeah, like 1996.
Exactly. 1996. Or we can go as far back as Kumo D, the Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West.
Marley Marlin, the symphony, that whole music video. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, yep, dun. The whole video is the West.
Well, I believe that's me. Big Daddy can't get out of my foot. The whole video is the West. So even us seeing this as little children, you're like, wow, man, there's more.
Well, look, I remember when Mario Van Peebles did Posse.
Oh, yeah. Did Posse.
And that was like for my dad. My dad was in the Westerns. And I remember at that moment, it was a big deal because my dad was saying at the time, and I didn't, you know, obviously as a young kid, didn't process the magnitude of showing black men and women as equals in the Wild Wild West, because these individuals were free people with guns.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think what is special about The Harder They Fall is, whereas like Billy Zane was the baddie in Posse and stuff, what's beautiful about The Harder They Fall is that there is no white oppressor, or like, I don't, it's black people doing their own thing in their own time. You understand what I'm saying, Roseberg? Like, we're just doing our own thing in our own time, in our own space, building their own towns. And when I deal with color, I kind of like turn it on its head, as people will see in the bank robbery, which is a lot of people's favorite scene. So we existed in that space of time. And I believe that if you remove a brick from a house, it just becomes, the whole house is the structure's damaged. If you remove women from the Old West, it's like moving a a wheel from a Bugatti. You can have the best car in the world, but now it's the worst. You ruined one piece of history, it has a domino effect on all of history. And now we're clueless. It's the equivalent of teaching black people, and we have this narrative running through our entire existence, teaching black people that we were slaves, that we're the ancestors, our ancestors were slaves. That has never, that is the biggest untruth you could tell us as kids. Our ancestors were enslaved. That's different than our ancestors were slaves, right? But you people keep feeding us this narrative and then removing us, like that whole from the Emancipation Proclamation Act to like the 20s, it's just a blur in history. They've just literally deleted black people as if we just didn't go anywhere. But the places like Tulsa, Oklahoma, the Greenwood Avenue terrorist attack, these things happened because black people were doing their own thing. We were thriving post slavery. We weren't down and out. And I just think it's important for us to see ourselves as the majestic men and women that we are.
Well, and also one thing, I was just looking at some of the reviews for the film, and I know, listen, when people get bad reviews, we want to tell ourselves reviews don't matter because it helps. But when you get good reviews, which you're getting a lot of for this film, I imagine for you, who's been working this as a lifetime project, it must mean a lot to see respected people praise this film. Does it mean a lot?
Yeah, it does mean, you know, I'll be remiss to say that we could put a lot in something and then it not be received well. So it does mean a lot, but I think more importantly was the fact that that it was done, right? That the movie was done. And you know, just as kids growing up, we have something else to see. And also Rosenberg, with this film, we have a return of the score, right? People don't celebrate the score no more. If I say to you, think Raiders of the Lost Ark, E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Jaws, it's all John Williams, by the way. Star Wars. You don't come out of the movie singing the score no more. What has happened to mankind? When you come out of this movie, you sing the score. Like, from the score to the songs, to the script, to the dialogue, to the empowerment. This joint is just hard. And you know what? Like, it's almost you're getting the real James. It's almost politically incorrect for a director to be excited about what he makes. Right. I should be here like this. Well, you know, Ebro, you know, when I had the thoughts of the hard leaf, but that's not how me and Ebro talk. Me and Ebro be cooking in the studio. We're like, oh, Ebro, don't be in the seat. Wait till you see. So you're getting a real James. This movie is nuts. Like, when you watch it, like, okay, all right, we're back. It's like the poster of Gremlins 2. It's like the poster of Gremlins 2. They're back. It's one of those ones. This movie's hard as hell. So the reviews and stuff are important, but really and truly, this movie is 1-2 hours plus of
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
On the score when they're gonna rob a train. This tish is harder than hell.
I'm hyped.
That's my boy James right there.
You know,
I'm gonna tell you, man, even more than you getting this finished and it being something that's being heralded and all of the people involved, is that the world I've known you for a long time. And so, like, watching Rosenberg meet you right now, and people get to see, like, somebody that's truly excited about creating, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and is having fun and doing things that, like, you know, you're right. Like, normally we hear about films and, you know, the actors come out and they do the little dog and pony show, and it's like, the trailer comes out and you go see it, and hopefully it's great. Yeah. But it's rare, you're right, that we see the creator loving their, I mean, look, normally we see a DJ Khaled like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
when we get to go, you, Khaled's just running around, running in circles. Yeah. It's great to have somebody like you with that same energy doing it in film and music.
Fully. You get a director that's like, another one. Like, you know, it's interesting. For me, I'm a flaw. And you know this, Ebro, when people don't know, when people were calling me mad last year, remember, in lockdown, right? When I was looking for that aloe vera toilet paper that turned into this big murder mystery on Instagram, and people didn't know what it was. They thought, this guy's accusing Jay-Z of... See, the truth is, I am a pure, uncut creative, a floor-to-ceiling storyteller. I wake up in the morning and the Lord says, action. And I have to tell stories. So when they're telling us we can't leave our house, when they're telling us, like, there's a worldwide pandemic outside and everyone's scared, and then we're just at home, not knowing what to do on the gram, watching D Nice play Do You Remember? And just jamming. But we have nothing. Like, I'm a storyteller. I'll take to Instagram and involve the whole world in a murder mystery that starts with Ellen Pompeo, Jesse Williams, Tiffany Haddish, that goes to Jay-Z in his first appearance on Instagram Live. That he then says, you want your backpack, you find the killer of Rex Mills. Next minute, I'm on a wild goose chase to find this killer that ends up being Morgan Freeman and the thing, this and that and the other. I'm a floor-to-the-ceiling creative, a floor-to-the-ceiling storyteller. Whether I've got a guitar in my hand, or whether they take away all the cameras from me and all I have is my cell phone, and it's and all I have is Instagram. I always tell stories, but you know that. Because me and you are always cooking up behind the scenes. You know what I mean, Ebro?
Well, now, James, though, I want to make sure that people, too, also know that, you know, these relationships you've built over the years, too. Because, look at the litany of names you just ran down.
Yeah.
And I know people are like, yo, I've never met James Samuels. I keep hearing this name. I remember the Rex Mills thing. But how does he know all these people?
Yeah. For me, I think it's just basically my life, because I'm always creating. So then the universe just keeps giving me God, just keeps giving me and introducing me to these fascinating, talented human beings. So I have history with most of these people. Only a couple of the relationships on the Harder They Fall, say, soundtrack, for instance, are new. But I met Jay-Z in 2009 when I was producing Jay Electronica, and he signed in 2010. But I produced that song Dinner at Tiffany's with Charlotte Gainsbourg, Jay-Z, and the Dream, Shiny Suit Theory. So we met from way back then. Then we did The Great Gatsby together. I worked with CeeLo, I think, in 2000. I think I've known CeeLo since 2007 or something. We wrote a song. I wrote a song for him called Shooting Star. It's an unreleased track. I'll probably put it on my next soundtrack. So all of these people, I've had, like, working relationships. They know me really, really well, and it's almost like living a thousand lifetimes. And I shot the short film, remember, for Jay-Z, Legacy, that was on the 444. I wrote and directed that with Ron Perlman, Susan Sarandon. So I was always directing, always making music, and I think that's why I know such a vast array of people, from even the cast of They Die by Dawn with Rosario Dawson. Remember the super cool video when I played the
homeless man,
homeless guy in the street. Stop filming me. I'm always doing crazy things. And I just think that all of these people are great artists, and all great artists, for the most part, want to make great art. And that's why I've been able to secure such solid relationships with the creative community. And also,
James Samuels. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, and also, I'm a G. I'm kind of like, I'm a different.
And in closing.
I'm like Jack Nicholson in Tim Burton's Batman, 1989. Winged freak terrorizes city. Well, they get a load of me. James is a little bit different than your average creative.
There it is. James Samuels. I love you, brother. Keep shining.
I love you for life, Ebro. Thank you, man. Thank you, Rosenberg. Pleasure
to meet you.
I wish Laura.
Looking,
I wish Laura Stiles could have been here. I've been watching you guys for years, man. So it's only right that I make my.
So last night, Laura had her. She, you know, she's a mom now. Her 1 year old had the first birthday. Her 1 year old was born on Halloween, so she's cooked.
Congratulations, she's cooked. Laura Stiles, man. Laura Stiles, congratulations, man, and get ready for the terrible twos. When I had my son, they said when he turns two, James is gonna be the terrible twos. I was like, huh? That sounds hella Western to me. I'm African. My son was like 1 year and 364 days, and he turned into, you know, they say like don't feed the gremlins after like 11. He
after
turned
midnight?
Into yeah, after midnight, he turned into Stripe, the Mohican.
Oh, I'm Stripe's like, the L one. Year,
yeah, yeah.
Your
for 1 year, he went nuts. He went nuts for 1 year, and then he turned 3 years old. He was normal again. So get ready, Laura.
Yeah. But
congratulations, Queen.
Yeah, that's dope. You, James Samuels, The Harder They Fall. Go check for it. November 3rd. It's on Netflix. Go get that soundtrack on Apple Music. Love, bro. I'll see you soon.
Salute. Much love. Much love, Rosenblatt.
Much love.
Peace, man.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.